A Gathering of Days, A New England Girl's Journal, 1830 to 1832. A novel by Joan W. Bloss. Chapter 8. Saturday, February 26, 1831. Seeing it takes one's mind from the cold, Cassie's mother says every winter would be improved by such a dispute, and nearly each winter has one. A heated argument? Asks Cassie's father, and winks at that. Midst merriment, which rather concludes the discussion. Now must the teacher look for new lodging, the M's being loudest and first to condemn him, and where he's living besides. The Shipmans have offered to take him in. However, they, Shipmans, demand to be paid. The M's point out they've defaulted not, and thus deserve the full fee for the unexpired term. Father says this poor nation of ours can scarce expect its affairs in order, so long as New Englanders, being what they are, care more for cash than scruples. Sunday, February 27, 1831. Teacher Holt set with the Shipmans at services today. Father says that when he is done with the spindled maple wood chair, he'll not make a candle stand after all, but rather another matching chair to keep it company. Would not a chair want that, he jokes, same as a mortal being? Tuesday, March 1st, 1831. A delegation came around to the Shipmans, and now the matter of Teacher Holt is as good as settled. Hereafter in school, will read only such texts as the town approves. The M's will receive one half, the due board, the rest of it going to Shipmans. As this leaves the Shipmans some dollars short, the teacher has pledged to Cassie's father that he shall work so and so many days, come time for plowing and planting to satisfy the debt. The Shipmans were well pleased. What farmer's household needs not more help, and some cash besides? 'Tis certain they have more chambers than they use, despite Aunt Lucy's visit. I had the wish Teacher Holt might come to us. This was not proposed. The sun, I think, has acquired some warmth. Now when it filters through trees still bare, it pits the snow beneath. Cassie says she saw two robins, the very first of the season. Tradition has it that luck will be hers, but spring, I think, suffices, and spring comes to us all. Wednesday, March 9th, 1831. How welcome is the pretty bird who sits upon the tree, nor would I ask for gold or silver, strike through silk, as spring is wealth for me. C.H. Friday, March 11, 1831. Joshua Nelson was thrashed again for sleeping over his books. I know that I should die of shame, but he will ever make light of it and grins when it is over. So what does it serve? I challenged Cassie. Those who fear it avoid the lash, while those who mind not, mind not. We sometimes consider that we will be teachers, if only in the summer months when females are employed. My mother was a teacher before she married. She used to tell how she met my father, being boarded at a farm near his, and much preferring his company to that of the cruder household at which she was lodging by the town. Saturday, March 12th, 1831. Father today completed his chair, a very excellent piece. One can tell it was made with care, and no part of it hurried. We set it in the northeast window. There it will catch the sun in the morning, yet be at the margin of the light cast by the fire at night. Maddie begged to be the first person ever to sit in it. This she was allowed. As she placed her foot on the rung, a place where no foot had rested before, it came to me that one day the wood must be worn away from the smooth perfection of its present shape. Yesterday, I neglected to record what happened when I returned to the schoolhouse after the general dismissal. Teacher Holt was at his desk and sitting at the small scholars' benches, as if it were quite the usual thing, was a good half dozen of the older boys. Asa and David Shipman were there, and one of the older Prestons, also Sophie's brother, Zedediah, who said seldom comes to school, although one would scarcely know it was he. There I glimpsed John Nelson. Now he sat at full attention, his long legs bent to the low front bench, his chin cupped by his hands. Teacher Holt was in mid-discourse, Garrison's paper open. Catching sight of me, he paused, as if he might be of help, and then, without a blush of shame, resumed his exhortation. Cassie, when I told her of it, said that everyone knows but me, and how had it escaped me? Teacher Holt abides by his promise not to teach within school hours, text not approved by the district, but after school is a different case, or so he reasons it out. Thus is the letter of the promised obeyed, while in their spirit the man and his scruples are not compromised. The district mayn't like it, but they're naught that they can do. There's naught that they can do. Thursday, March 17, 1831. The sap, they say, is running in the better sheltered trees. No sooner had the word come round, none of ours being so favored yet, than we must fetch the buckets out for scalding, for new use. I think there was never a gladder sight, or a more certain sign of spring, than pails up-tilted to the sun on the south side of the house. Although yard and road are boggy in places, yet in the deeper part of the woods is there a foot of snow. 'Tis there they will take the oxen tomorrow, their very passage with drag logs behind, serving to clear a path to the camp where we'll have the sugaring off. Friday, March 18th, 1831. Today, I am 14 years old. While I prepared our midday dinner, Father came to talk about the day that I was born. He remembers well it had snowed 9 inches just the night before my birth and 10 the day preceding. Most of the previous snow had melted and they'd had flooding on River Street down in Holderness. The sun's first rays came into the room as I came into the world. They'd wrapped me well in there. With my mother, I lay in the room, which they'd planned for the purpose and called the borning room. Later, my mother died in that room, but none ever called it a dying room that I heard tell about. I do not know. I do not like to think of it. Her face that had gone on, a sudden old, and all its color gone. Father this morning was full of good cheer, and told how proud and happy they'd been, the house being newly completed, and now graced with a child. He had 3 acres mowing, he says, and half of one arable. One each of horse and cow and ox, the latter my mother had nursed to health when no one else was able. The horse died just before she did, was injured, sickened, up and died. We never got another. The whole first year, they had only a table, some benches my mother had brought from her home, and a pot for cooking. Saturday, March 19, 1831. Today the men went into the woods to tap the trees and hang the buckets which we had readied by sunning and scalding, and then had loaded on to the cart for transport to the camp. We, Maddie and I, and shipmen children, assisted as we might. Little Willie was excluded from this, being still too small to go to the woods, to get his great disappointment. Even as the taps were placed, the men doing this throughout the groves, the boys cut pines, which we then used to recover the shanty. They expect to start the fires tomorrow when the Sabbath ends. Tis is a well-known New England tradition, sprung from a mountainous land, start the Sabbath by the almanac, but end it when the western hills first lay claim to the sun. Thus are the Saturday hours prolonged, while the desire's reverse effects is applied to the Sabbath's duration. The end of chapter 8.